You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Have you set your intentions? What are your intentions? What are you looking to create in 2021? And the planets are moving along. The first thing is tonight at 9:01 p.m. It is a new moon, and it's a new moon in Capricorn, which means that it's a blue background, if not a blue moon.
I said new moon.
I know what you said. So the new moon in Capricorn is for setting things in motion, especially where you're looking to set tangible goals. Now, because Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, the goals that you set, the intentions that you set tonight at the new moon, really need to be about, you know, the long haul, you know. Because Saturn, the ruler of Capricorn, is about longevity and stability. So I know everybody wants to create everything yesterday, and that's Aquarius, that is not Capricorn. So when you set your intentions in this new lunar cycle that we're all going into this evening, set it based on what needs to happen, you know, that's going to create the better stability down the road, not about immediate gratification, okay? And whenever the moon's in Capricorn, a new moon is in Capricorn, one of the things that we can do is actually create a good, serious order in our lives. And, you know, it also creates, because of Saturn rules, genuine focus on what we're looking to attain. So this is a time, if you felt, you know, coming out of the holidays that you've lost your focus, tonight is a good night with this new moon to get your focus back. Okay? All right. And remember, a new moon is the beginning of a new lunar cycle. The full moon is the culmination. You know, so what you do at the new moon in 2 weeks, when we hit the full moon, you should see some kind of result as to, you know, what happened, you know, setting things in motion. Now, I want to touch on something, which is, you know, every time I talk about this topic, people sort of go, oh, my God. All right. So, even though Mercury, here we go, turns retrograde on January the 30th, and I ran a Mercury retrograde chart.
There it is. The chart's showing up today. I like it.
It is showing up right in front of Dr. Byerly's face. Excuse me.
Did we even introduce Dr. Byerly?
Yes, we did.
We went off with a bang. I was
busy looking at stuff in here.
Good.
Yes, we did. So
we love Dr. Byerly.
Jeez. The Mercury turns retrograde on January the 30th at 7:52 a.m. on the Pacific coast, which means that 21 days earlier, 3 weeks before, the shadow period begins. And that means on the 9th, just a few days ago, we already began to feel the effects of Mercury retrograde. All right. So, and at the moment, you know, Mercury is late in Aquarius already, even though the sun is in Capricorn. And when Mercury goes retrograde in Aquarius, you can anticipate, notice I didn't say expect, you can anticipate your electronics will go insane. All right?
Great.
Because Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and that is sudden changes, high energy, and Uranus rules technology. And when Mercury goes retrograde, Saturn, Jupiter, the Sun, and Mercury all will be in retrograde. Okay, so we got to keep our eyes on what's going on. And here's the other thing that you have to watch, and this is the other part that can make people cringe, is that, remember, on the day of the election, on the morning of the election, Mercury went from retrograde to direct. And because Mercury is going to, has already started the shadow period, things we will, because Mercury retrograde has to do with communication from the past, things from when Mercury turned direct can start to shift. So what happened, the quote-unquote indecisiveness, indecision, let's call it, at the time of the election, well, that can of worms will get opened up now that we're feeling Mercury retrograded. All right?
Well, can I just say that can of worms is definitely, there's a lot of conversation going on around that can of worms. And then there's also conversation going around about the possibility of a blackout, a media blackout. So if you're looking at Mercury retrograde and electronics, sometimes it's about the electronics and sometimes it's about other things.
Well, Mercury rules communication. Okay. So this is fascinating. And the inauguration is the 20th. And the sun goes from Capricorn to Aquarius on the 19th, on early afternoon on the West Coast, mid-afternoon on the East Coast, into Aquarius. So when you get into Aquarian energy, things can change. And in other words, it's like traveling down a road and making a turn at 400 miles an hour. And just like that. Okay.
And on top of everything, did you know that the 19th is National Popcorn Day?
Oh, I love popcorn.
Well, like that's lighthearted.
What's going on?
So anyway, there's a lot to come up. And in more shows, I'm going to talk more about the effects of Mercury retrograde in Aquarius and what we have to look forward to. So
I've changed it from popcorn to pistachios. I'm just saying.
That's funny. So our guest this evening, who has been on the show before, Dr. Byerly, and welcome, Kristen. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
As we began last night with Healthy Mind, Healthy Body, the eight-week course, our intention here is to have the next week's speaker, you know, next Monday, which you'll be speaking at our class, you know, on the show, so we can get everyone watching an idea of, you know, who our guests are and, you know, what they're going to be talking about. And last night we started Healthy Mind, Healthy Body with a bang. Mm-hmm. It was good. We talked about, it was an introduction, and we talked about mind and body. And we also talked about the lower limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And you being a chiropractor, and next week is about the root chakra, which rules the spinal column and nervous system. You are the perfect speaker for that. But more importantly, you know, one of the things that you and I talked about the other day was that having healthy spinal health, which is redundant, and taking care of your spinal column, your nervous system, does have an effect on general health. And also there are some things that you're going to talk about tonight that have to do with taking care of health regarding COVID and viruses and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with spinal health, it kind of starts to fall in the same line of thinking that you would equate to your oral health, right? Where just like every other system in the body, it requires a little bit of maintenance and things can get out of whack. And if you spend a period of time with things out of balance and out of whack, then the body is obviously going to respond and make changes. Now, what happens to your spine if you spend a period of time imbalanced and out of whack? The spine actually responds to those forces by changing the shape of the bones. So if you have a long term, and I specialize in pregnancy, prenatal, pediatrics, and children. So we're seeing children in these postural positions that curve your spine forward, bring your head forward. We see this starting at a much younger age because this used to be something that really only applied to our adults sitting at desks and doing computer work all day. But now, and especially now with online learning and with COVID, we see our littles spending an exorbitant amount of time on their screens and their devices and usually doing it in postures that are really, really imbalanced and not healthy for your spine. And the health of your spine is going to govern the integrity of, it's the structure that everything's going to attach to. Not only that, it's also housing your nervous system. So if the spine itself is in an abnormal position and making bony changes, that's going to affect the nerves inside and the amount of space that they have and how they can function and help your body regulate.
Well, I just thought of something when you were talking about the littles, is that when kids are in school, especially younger children, they're sitting at their desk and most of the time they're paying attention like that. But depending on how things are set up at home, because now the kids are at a computer, they're more like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the posture is this way as opposed to that. So what can you elaborate on that?
Well, ergonomics is a really big deal. And I think at the beginning of all of this, a lot of people didn't put a lot of stock in their home ergonomics because everybody thought just two more weeks. And then you get to a point where you go, well, am I going to invest in this more expensive desk when this might just be for a couple more weeks? And so there was that whole thing that happened. Also, kids don't tend at home to sit at a desk. They sit on their beds. And now you're in a completely different situation where you have a laptop or something way so much lower than you normally would if you were seated at a desk and working on your computer. And so that's a big problem.
I've literally worked with kids who will have me kind of on the bed and you see just their face and their room behind them. So they're looking down like this the whole session.
Oh, yeah. And that forward head posture. And so that just creates a whole lot of tension for your neck. It puts a lot of strain into all the muscles that are attaching up the back of the head. It creates a lot of tension headaches when you get down into this forward head posture. And so when we're like that all the time, you get stuck like this. And if you were to now try to look up to the horizon, you have to bring your head into this kind of, we call this like turtling position, right? And again, that compounds more pressure into the suboccipital muscles. And it puts a really deep fulcrum at a delicate area where you have the brain stem. You have a lot of blood supply going up to the brain there. And so there's a lot of interruption and headaches for not only tension, but from lack of blood supply that happen from.
So if parents are having their kids complaining about stuff like this, about headaches, like we have a table here and I have a basket underneath the computer that brings the computer up like this.
Yep.
So parents can literally sit their kids, if nothing else, maybe at the dining room table or create a desk or table in their room where they can put the computer up.
Oh, yeah.
So that they're sitting like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I love, like, ergonomics doesn't actually have to be expensive. I think if you're working on a laptop, the best thing that I would recommend for the majority of people is a extra keyboard that you can move so that you can get the screen to a proper height for your eyes and have the keyboard at a proper height for your wrists and for your shoulders. Mm-hmm. I think that's usually one of the best, most impactful decisions you can make on your ergonomics. And then we were just teasing about it when I was telling you my desk in my office is actually a children's desk, but it works for me. And I have it on just little, I think what they're like 6 to 9 inch risers. They're built for a dorm room bed. And that just brings my desk up just enough to make it sort of a sit stand for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those were a quick, easy investment. And it doesn't, and same, yeah, stacking books, using a basket, get those old yellow pages that no one uses anymore out and put them to use, bring your computer up to it.
The ones we haven't put in the recycle, yes.
I know, right? I opened up a cabinet and I was like, 2014, why am I sitting on these yellow pages for 6 years?
Right. Exactly. So when you were talking about blood, and this is something that personal testimony to you, is that we know we've talked about this a little bit before, that going back about 4 or 5 years ago, we had gone through a very stressful time of selling our house. Okay. And last night we actually joked about this. We all know what affirmations mean, and the subconscious hears everything our mouth says, and your body is the mouth of the subconscious mind. And so because this was so stressful, and I was at a point where I was actually furious with the realtor that we were using, Audrey heard me say, and Audrey's like, that I said, you know, this is, you're making my blood pressure go through the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, not too long after that, guess who's never had blood pressure issues started having blood pressure issues. So I guess I'm very good at affirmations because my body listened.
Not only that, when we're thinking something, we're saying it, and then with such incredible emphasis. I mean, you just said it in such a way where it was like, I was just like, whoa. And it just manifested. Fast. I mean, we talk to our body listens, and we can create whatever we want in our body. And that was one of those moments. And I have seen that with clients over the years often. Yeah.
So after that, you know, I started taking steps to, you know, get it back down. And I did the logical thing. I had a physical and I knew everything was fine. Okay. I just had to get the blood pressure down. So I discovered in working with Kristen that chiropractic adjustments have a very positive effect on blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's through stimulation of really the effect that we can have on the majority of the cranial nerves. And we know that the adjustments and in certain regions that we can have a positive effect on the vagus nerve primarily, which is regulating your heart rate, your respiratory rate. And so that area, and we've done your pre and posts where we yes. have you sit down before, we adjust you, we check after, and it's always lower. And so that's always a positive sign for us and just our singular case.
Sure.
But it does have to do with stimulating not only by relieving sometimes mechanical pressure, like what we were talking about when you get into that postural loading, but also then taking and balancing the autonomic nervous system as well. And so there are areas in the spine that we can access the sympathetic nervous system. And there are areas in the spine where we can really access and stimulate the parasympathetic system. And when we're adjusting in the neck and in the low back sacrum area, that's where we're really tuning into and balancing the body's rest and digest system that kicks in. And so our bodies are always fighting for homeostasis. That's what they're designed to do. And in our day-to-day world, we've gotten really, really great at managing and mitigating stress, right? You're helping people all day. What is it? Stress for some reason or another, right? And so our bodies get really great at making sure your blood pressure stays in this healthy range, yeah. making sure that you're not panting, you're not red-faced, you aren't in this constant state of, well, to your body, you're in this state of fight or flight, but to the presenting world, you're not freaking out, right? But right. your body inside is going through the same neurological responses as if you were being chased by a tiger, because your sympathetic system doesn't go, oh, that's just this, my kid's screaming and it's actually no big deal. It goes, there is screaming, this adds to my stress. We need to kick up all of your fight or flight gear. And we live in this constant state of high anxiety, high sure. fight or flight. And so part of balancing the body through sometimes manual adjusting, sometimes more tonal work, we're actually also trying to balance out the autonomic system, help bring people back into that state where the body can heal, recover, repair.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, in terms of the numbers, you know, my blood pressure came down pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then for a long time, it was lingering in that like low to mid 130s over like 80. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw you a week ago, I'm like the bottom number is now 70.
Right.
I mean, it's really down.
Yeah. That's the work you've been doing over time, right? Sure. That was your incoming blood pressure.
All of it.
Yeah.
But I noticed, you know, that, you know, look, how people manage their life is a lot of different things, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. But when we take steps in different modalities, that all comes into play. And that ends up with diet, exercise, nutrition, rest, you know, all of that comes into play, that it's amazing how the body remembers and will go back to, you know, what it knows most of the time. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I feel good. You know, I don't have, I'm lucky that I don't have a lot of nagging things.
Mm-hmm. That's because we work on it all the time.
We work on it, sure.
And we have our doctors.
Exactly. Now, I have a question, and I've never asked you this before. As we get not so much little kids, but as mature adults, are there distinct differences in the spinal column and adjustments of women versus men? And I know that the body is different, different body parts, but what do you see that?
I think it's not necessarily differences in the way that we adjust. I think that there are some trends, right, where I find that my female patients are more likely to have neck tension and headaches. My male patients are more likely to come in for low back pain, shoulders, knees, things like that. But obviously, there are definitely times that we're being very mindful of female anatomy versus male anatomy. And that's when we're dealing with our pregnant population. And that's more or less respecting that their body is building another body, right? So first and foremost, there are things that we just don't do on pregnant bodies because the hormones create laxity, because the uterus has muscular fibers and we don't need to twist and stimulate those muscular contractions during certain phases of pregnancy. And so obviously there are safe adjusting moves and there are not safe adjusting moves when we're dealing with our mamas. But really it starts to come down to each person. We tend to start with manual care. And the more that we get to know somebody and we see people with a little bit more regularity than their regular MD, so we get to hear more about their lives, we get to be a little bit more in touch with the day-to-day stressors, with the everyday life that goes into the postural stress that builds up over time. And so we really start to build a very more personalized approach. And so I don't necessarily feel like there are things I do because it's a male patient or because it's a female patient, but there are definitely trends where I feel like a lot of my female patients sometimes need more of the tonal balancing, bringing the stress down, self-care, because we have this like give all complex that I think is really unhealthy in our women. Like this is where like women's lib kind of like missed the mark on like Wonder Woman. My male patients don't seem to need as much of that kind of care. Sometimes my male patients come in and they're more like, rack me, crack me, doc, get me going. Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But one thing about you, your knowledge, and this is one of the things I really like about you and being treated by you, is that you're not the typical, and excuse the expression, old man bone cruncher.
Right.
Okay. And that seems to be, that dinosaur seems to be, quote unquote, dying off.
Yeah. Not that I always feel safe with her, you know?
Yes. Oh, well, and the thing is, and I think our students will really get this about you when you speak next Monday in class, is that your overall knowledge of the body, and when it comes to nutrition and things like that and gut health, you know, you really understand the body, not just the spinal column and how to manipulate bones and things like that. I mean, the other day you were doing a check on me and the way you were bending my legs to see if one leg was longer than the other.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Can I say something?
Yes.
One of the things that I realized, and this was when going to a chiropractor, something that I never knew in my life, and I thought it was very strange that I never knew this. So in the spinal column, and you can say more about this, but I never knew that the spinal column, so you've got the juices that go from here, I'm pointing to the back of my head, all the way down, and then coming out of all of our spinal column, we've got these nerves, right? That go all the way around, like these go around to the thyroid and it goes around to stuff in here, right? And then you've got nerves that go around to all the different parts of our body. So if the bones are squeezing and shutting off the go-go juice to those nerves, then it's like you're compromising whatever the organs are that it brings the go-go juice to. And that was like, I never knew that. So right. if your if your bones are compressing too much and it's shutting off those nerves, we all know it because we'll get sciatica and that's painful going down the leg. But I never realized that it's attached to all the organs and it's literally attached to the health of the body. So when you're getting a chiropractic adjustment, it's not just to line up your bones so that you feel better and you're not having that stuff going on in your back. It's literally for the health of your body.
Right.
I never knew that.
You both touch on really, it's kind of the same idea, actually, that old bone cruncher model. You're right, it is dying. And chiropractic schools are working really hard to kill that old model because it is very general, one size fits all. We're going to side posture the right, the left, a couple up the middle, do a few on the neck and see you in 3 times this week kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And that came from a model that used to be called foot on the hose, where it was this kind
foot
of
on the hose.
Yeah. With like what you're saying, the go juice, right? It's like you have, if the hose is supplying the go juice and you step on the go juice isn't getting there. Right. And so that was the original model that they used to help you wrap your head around the idea of a nerve being impinged and not being able to send signals through the body. Right. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, where we really circled back to and become appreciative of is chiropractors are really dealing with your functional neurology. At the end of the day, my job is to preserve and protect the nervous system. One of the easiest ways for me to do that is through making sure that the spinal column is aligned, but also we are using movement and we're using that kinetic activity to stimulate the brain, to stimulate your reflexes, to reset muscle memory, and to create more postural balance that over time, you don't have bony change and osteophytes and these things that we know put pressure on the nerve roots that can cause pain, that is numbness, that is tingling, that is weakness. And at the end of the day, when you think about how chiropractic care can really affect your organ systems, that goes all the way back to what we were talking about with balancing the sympathetics, the parasympathetics, keeping that homeostasis in a way
that all these big words everybody doesn't know those big words. What do you mean when you say sympathetic and parasympathetic?
So your body has a balance. It doesn't actually go like this. You're always a little bit more sympathetic. So we have one system in your body that is designed for fight or flight. If you are facing danger, your heart rate's going to go up. Your respiration's going to go up. Your vision is going to change as your pupils dilate, right? And your digestion is going to get dampened. That's another big one. People stressed out all the time. Sympathetic shuts digestion off. No wonder you're all constipated, right? So anyways.
Or the other, right?
Yeah. Either you eliminate and run or you hold it and go, right? Yeah. And so these are the things that the sympathetic system controls. And then you have the parasympathetic system and it's geared up for helping your body rest, digest, relax, and regenerate, rebuild. And so if we're always in this spot where your body thinks you're under attack and your cortisol levels are all through the roof and your adrenals are all kicked up, of course you're not going to sleep. Of course you're going to have disrupted digestion. And all of that is going to be a downward spiral.
So I want to say something about that. I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. So that thing with the cortisol levels. I have my team, and the other one that's going to be showing up here will be Eloise. So that thing with cortisol. So she has this stuff that's called Cortisol Manager, and it's amazing stuff. So I'm over at Eloise, and I'm also talking with Kimberly, who's going to be on this show as well. And I'm going, I don't eat like I look. And so I think it was Eloise or Kimberly or both. They're like, your cortisol levels are too high. And I'm like, I'm not in a stressed state, you know, for the most part, and Nick will attest to this, for the most part, I live very calm and I keep myself in the eye of the hurricane, as I suggest to do. And I think it must have been Kimberly, and she was saying, even though for us, we keep ourselves in that state of, we think we're being calm, on a level, there's so much that's going on around us right now. And there's so much that we hear, and even keeping ourselves calm, it's still raising that cortisol level. And for somebody with a body type like mine, the cortisol levels create inflammation, right? And so I think it's addressing it with people that even though you think you're being calm sometimes, it's like your body can be at the effect of all the stuff that's going around you.
Yeah.
Emphasize a little bit more on that and with the cortisol and what that looks like from your vantage point.
Well, we know that people are just massively stressed. And one of the things that I use when I'm going through my assessments to look at someone's stress level is actually their ocular movement. How well their eyes trace, does the eye jag, does one go and one is a little delayed. We look to see how the pupils accommodate, and when you shine a light into them, do they get big, do they get small? Does that happen at the same pace from right to left? And that really tells us if the brain is being overstimulated on one side versus the other. It tells us if the system is already in that sympathetic place because the pupils are already reacted, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are some of my diagnostic tools. What I love is when I'm looking at someone's eyes and I'm seeing that go like this and I go, so how's your work? And they're like, it's fine. It's not stressful. And you're just like, okay. So you feel like you manage your stress well, right? We all have our things we do to cope, whether it's a healthy activity or not, breath works, meditation, but who knows what people use to try to manage their stress. But it's all this effort to keep the body systems operating at status quo. And it's at the expense of your hormone levels, your mineral levels. When your cortisol is spiked, like you have to go back to caveman, right? Think about caveman is stressed out because there may be danger or famine. And so what are you going to do when you're stressed out? You're going to pack on calories to try to take on whatever will be the barren winter or something like that. And you're going to be kicked up in high gear for taking off to run at any given moment. And that's, like we were talking about, going to dampen your digestion and do all sorts of things. So cortisol in and of itself tends to be a waking hormone. So if people can't sleep, sometimes we're addressing a cortisol cycle that is high at night when it should be low. For you, you were noticing that it was causing you to feel inflamed, right? And to have that inability to process the foods you're eating because your body is like, I don't know, I might need these calories for later. We should be storing these.
It's like, right? My body's a flipping squirrel.
Yeah, no, your body's a squirrel. It's totally squirreling category. Yeah.
And absolutely. The funny thing is, and I'm curious, there's probably a lot of people out there. It's like, I can think that I'm being calm, and definitely I have people that I need to address who are in a state of high, whatever the thing is that they're dealing with. So I do get that occasionally I'm there in that space with them and I got to bring myself back down, especially when it's people close to me. And I think for a lot of people, there has been a serious lack of deep sleep. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who are waking up in the middle of the night and unable to go back to sleep, or they'll wake up like at 4 and that's it. They're awake and they're facing the day. And I think that has a lot to do with all of this as well. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think that, I mean, if I can complain a little bit, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that nobody is active. Not nobody. Sorry, people. Put you all in a box.
they are in a box.
People, yeah, in our box. People are inactive right now. We're inactive and we're being told to binge watch, and people are sitting there watching the news. And I don't know about you, but when my husband's watching CNN at home, I'm just like, where are my Oreos and some Cheez-Its? I need to leave the room. And I'm stress eating, listening to the news, right? And so that bad diet, that inactivity, the lack of exercise because our activities are closed, the lack of normal routine has really put people off. And I think also just the daily stress of where the media is putting numbers and a lot of the fear, I think, is disrupting people tremendously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question because of health and everything you've talked about. So, and I am going to put you on the spot a little bit here, but for the day-to-day maintenance and when people are out, you know, out and about and we're told we have to wear a mask, you know, what is that doing?
Well, so there's a lot of argument surrounding right. the masks and the health of it. And so I've done my own sitting at my desk with my pulse ox monitor on, and it does drop. And so that if I'm sitting at my desk doing my general work so with my mask on.
Yeah, what is that
sorry. Pulse oximetry is checking in on your heart rate and your oxygen, blood oxygen levels, okay. right? And so healthy pulse oxygen is anywhere from 96 to 100, and you don't want it to get below 96. And so that was something that I know went around on social media with people sitting there demonstrating that their pulse oximeters are getting low when they're sitting in the mask. So, I mean, it's just common sense that if you're re-inhaling your own carbon dioxide and you're not getting fresh airflow, your blood oxygen level is going to drop. So let's just like we'll just be rational in that thought line without having done the testing on it. Right. Okay. We do know that people don't take good care of their masks. And so the opportunity for bacteria, for fungal infections and other things exists when we are being irresponsible mask users. I personally have a major complaint about the littering that's happening with the disposable masks, just as far as the health of our planet goes there. But it's just something that I feel concerned about for oxygen and for people to just feel normal and to feel like they can communicate. For me, facial mouth reading is a huge part of my ability to hear people. So without that, I'm a little bit locked out of communication sometimes. I think that starts to become a social detriment. And as far as, again, taking it back into the pediatric realm, our babies are born, and if all the parts of their brain that are really geared up and ready to go, facial recognition and human facial recognition is right. essential. And imagine these children being born in a world right now where every adult around them is wearing a mask. So you don't get to see the little nuances of when someone's mad and their nostrils flare a little bit, when somebody is disappointed and their mouth turns down just a little bit. Without having the opportunity to build these facial recognition cues when we're developing that very, very important part of our brain as infants, I think that it's going to be an interesting social consequence, come what it might be. I think that there might be a social consequence there for children that are surrounded constantly. And I'm talking about little babies, developing babies, constantly surrounded by people in masks. And then, you know, people.
Well, then there's the emotional aspect of it.
It's a little dehumanizing.
It is. And it's also like me personally, I can get claustrophobic in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm wearing it in the store for an extended period of time, or if I have to go somewhere where I'm like having to wear it for a long time, I literally will start getting ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's I think a challenging thing for people on a lot of different levels. So, you know, I'm really counting on this thing cleaning itself out on the sooner side.
Hopefully. Well, there's a lot of argument about oral health, right? And so that's one thing that they're seeing spikes in periodontal disease. There's argument that this is encouraging intraoral disease. And then I notice when I have my mask on, I'm constantly kind of pushing my chin forward to push it away from my face so that when I'm breathing, it's not caving in on my face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the day, my jaw's a little sore because I'm being weird in there trying to talk around my mask, right? And so again, like who knows if we're all doing these weird things while we're wearing masks for 8 hours a day.
We're taking off and we're making faces all the time. That's why I wear a disposable mask.
Yeah.
I don't throw it away I throw it away in the right way, but
yeah,
it's the one that I can breathe the easiest in.
That's true. And then it makes you wonder, how effective is this exactly?
Well, from what I'm understanding, the virus is so small. I don't know how effective they are anyway.
Well, yeah, that's, and if the virus is thriving in a hypoxic environment, here we are. That means low oxygen, right? Here we are sitting in our breathing back in our own CO2, bringing right. our oxygen levels down, and again, compounding it with not getting good activity, having some people don't have access to their normal foods and food sources, and they're not making healthy choices when they're at home. And
I think it needs to be very clear for people on when you do wear a mask. Like, I see people out jogging alone by themselves. There's nobody around. They're jogging and they're wearing a mask. I don't think that's necessary.
Well, it may not be necessary, but what is necessary is that when we are out in nature, especially if we're on a path where there's trees, you know, grass, that, you know, we take in oxygen and release carbon dioxide, and nature, trees take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. So our interaction with the natural environment is very important to our survival. So if you are going out by yourself, you're not in a throng of people, and you're going to jog in nature,
take the mask off
because nature has what you need.
Yeah. And I think that's something that people are, you know, it's just like, I'm just supposed to wear the mask. You're supposed to wear the mask when you're 6 feet away from other people, as far as I can gather. So if you are, like, I go out walking often, and I don't wear my mask. If I do see people, I will walk well around them. And, you know, I'm never within 6 feet of people. And I think that that is important to know for the health of our body. You know, we have to have those moments of fresh air, and for our spirit, you know, we have to be free occasionally and able to experience this energy of nature. Exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
So in your work, I think what I've been able to take from this tonight is that, you know, chiropractic is not going to help cure a virus,
right, okay,
or illness, but what it lends itself to de-stressing.
Right.
An overtaxed body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, a term that you'll hear from Kimberly is constitution. Right. And so she and I both use that term when we're talking about a patient and their body's resilience, rather. Right. And so it's really a matter of acknowledging that your body is built and designed to take on stress and to regulate homeostasis inside. It's designed to do that through famine, through floods, through fires, through weather, through colds, through flus, through viruses, through illness. And it's obviously horrible when you encounter a disease that your body isn't capable of fighting off. And that is a horrible result of being human and nature and life, right? And it hurts. And that's obviously not something that we would wish on any body. However, it is just what we're designed to do. And if you are putting good in, you're going to get good back out. And putting good in means that you are taking care of yourself, that you are making time for mental peace and trying to have your moments of clarity or stress relief, whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. It's important to have movement. The largest part of your brain is the motor cortex, and it's all about movement. And so if we're going to talk about brain health, neurological health, the best way you can do that is to keep your body moving and to stimulate the motor cortex, right? And so that's what we're going to touch on Monday. I'm going to be showing people mm-hmm. movements that we use to stimulate the hemispheres, create cross communication, to balance the autonomic nervous system, and to do simple things that stimulate the motor cortex. Right. And so it's about healthy diet. It's about knowing what to eat, how to eat, when to eat, when to stop, when to binge, yeah. right? It's not all about having to say no to things that you like that are whatever, enjoyable activities, right? But sure. It is all life in moderation and having good social health also, right? And so I think a lot of people right now are experiencing just the stress of existing in society, right? And so sure. social health is in question. But chiropractically, we recognize that the body is going to respond to traumas, which are going to be obviously physical. You slipped, you fell, car accidents, things like this. Traumas, toxins, and that comes from the foods we eat, the environment that we live in, the things that we drink and do, and then our thoughts. We call them the three T's, but the thoughts are our stressors and how are we take on day-to-day life. And mm-hmm. those are the pillars that really govern your health mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And sure. that's where we try to intervene chiropractically, but also just acknowledge that you can create and foster health in your body and have less risk when you do encounter these bugs because your body has resilience and you have that sure. strong constitution and that trust that your body is designed and can take these bugs on. And it might not be comfortable, right? Symptoms are your body fighting the bug. The fever is your body trying to kill the bug. Don't suppress that fever, right? We ride those tides sometimes. And mm-hmm. we that's where Kimberly comes in. And we work with homeopathics to manage and to mitigate. But sometimes right. you need to let the body go through that so that it comes out stronger.
Right.
And so.
Before we run out of time, one thing I want you to do is tell everyone that's watching or listening, if they're interested in more about you or getting to know you, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. You can find me at Body Restoration Chiropractic. We're in Newbury Park, right off of Wendy. So we're easy to access from Newbury Park, but also from Camarillo. And so our wellness center is accessible in office by appointment, and you can find ways to contact us and our schedule at www.brchiropractic.com. So that's www.b as in body, r as in restoration, chiropractic.com.
And what's the phone number for
Our phone number is easy to call or text. It's 805-870-5271.
Wonderful. Thank
and again, you. I feel always very safe with you.
Good.
So with the buddy, with our class that we have on Monday nights, she's going to be here next Monday night. And for those of you that live anywhere, it's going to be online. So if you're interested to take the one that we just did, we taped it, you can get caught up, or you can just jump in on any of the nights that we have it. You can go to newmontcenter.net. We have a calendar page that you can access, and you can see what the class is in there, what the time is, what the Zoom link is. And we're going to have all kinds of really fantastic information. You were a great precursor for your class. This is fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I know that as you're speaking to a lot of the students that are in there Monday night are part of the healing curriculum here at the Newmont Center. So you'll also be speaking to people that have some advanced knowledge too. So those individuals will really be drinking up what you have to say awesome. Because they have their own practices and different kinds of modalities and practitioners. So we're looking forward to having you speak Monday night.
Yes.
And again, if you're interested in what Audrey and I do, you can contact Audrey directly, you know, for an appointment at 818-665-6165. You can get a hold of me at the center here at 818-865-8770. And anything else that...
Well, we're Zooming all the sessions. So if you're interested and you live anywhere, we're available. And also, I have a group on Sunday mornings for women. It's at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And those women are rocking their lives. They're doing some really great things. So you can jump in anytime. And
we have a lot more workshops coming.
Yeah, I think in February, March, we're going to be starting more things. We're letting things figure themselves out now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I have to say one more thing. In this moment, we haven't addressed it so much. We have a lot going on. It's super important to really understand there is a bit of a storm going on around us. Be in the eye of the storm. Keep yourself as calm as possible. Focus on being present with yourself, being calm as much as possible. Do those things that Kristen was just saying. Do the things that Nick and I are saying, and really own your ability, own your power right now. It's super important. It's going to be a very, very good year. We just got to get through this moment.
Right. And exactly. And the challenging astrology that we had in 2020 has moved off, you know, like a bad weather pattern. And the planets are much more cooperative and humanitarian in 2021.
We're just sorting through the debris, are we?
Yeah, yeah, we're doing the cleanup. Exactly. Anyway, I think we've got to go. Thank you for watching. I'm Nick Newmont, Audrey Newmont, Dr. Kristen Byerly. And we will let you know who our guest is next week. We're still working on that. You have been watching Mainstream Metaphysics. We appreciate you. And please out there, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We will see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.